Some person would just kill all these beautiful people for no reason. Over 500, I guess, were in hospital, and we also had many were killed. 59, I believe, was the last count. Lives totally shattered, and the grief, unbelievable. You can just think of the families as they deal with this very senseless situation. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a major shooting either. In our lives, every day is an adventure. Every day there are problems. Every day there are trials. We are constantly, seemingly, in this battle. How do you handle battles? How do you handle something that is so tragic that you just don't know what way to turn? In our psalm today, it is a beautiful psalm, 25, written by David. And it just talks about how you need to seek God in times of trouble. And he has got an amazing way of approaching difficulties. So let's listen to this man who actually God called him a man after my own heart. This is God speaking through David and speaking to us. And whatever you may be going through, see if you can just take it and apply it to your life. And if you're in a plateau right now where everything's going good, that's wonderful. But you know, around the bend, there may be something that we really need to draw on. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we just am so thankful that you are in control of everything. But we see sometimes things happen, tragedies, and we just ask why. And even in our lives, Lord, you know what each and every one of us are going through. Open our minds, open our hearts to what David is saying today so that we can apply it to our life and be changed and be strengthened. Although the troubles will still be there, you'll be there to guide us through it all. May the words I have be the words you've blessed me with. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. David, we've all heard stories of David. There have been some exciting stories. Remember, he was a shepherd and he was a musician. I wore my little treble clef today. He had this harp, and he played this harp for the King Saul, remember, and it just kind of soothed Saul out of all his misery, at least temporarily. We also know David as a hero. He was the one who killed Goliath, all done with this tremendous faith in God. This tremendous faith in God started when he was quite young and continued. He became known as one of the greatest kings. He had his troubles, yes, but he was a great king. You would almost think that he had everything together, everything was going well, but when we see him in Psalm 25, the figure, he was an older man at this time, but he was actually in one of his darkest days. He was a changed, discouraged man. Not changed in his faith with God, but changed in that he had a huge problem. So I just want to look at his problem, because when you understand that, then you can understand a little bit about why he wrote this psalm in the first place. You see, David had a son called Absalom, and Absalom wanted to be king. And he was very impatient. He didn't want for David, and actually he wouldn't have got the throne anyhow. So there was things that happened. It was a huge, big story, wonderful to read in the Bible. But Absalom decides he is going to have a conspiracy, and he is going to overthrow David. And that's it. David finds out about it, and he is heartbroken that his son would even think of being able to do this attack. And David knows full well if there's a battle that someone might be killed. We have family trouble, I'm sure, every one of us, but not many of us have that of a son or a daughter attacking to kill us. It's brought a lot of heartache to David, and this is where he is when he starts to write. As we go through this, I'm just going to list a little, almost like a little list. I love lists, but this is a little list that when you look through it, you can see his pattern of what he does. This is a huge, huge thing, huge that he's going through. And the first thing he does, he turns to God. He doesn't know what to do in the situation, but he turns to God. He must have had very many loyal friends out there, advisors. They can tell you what to do. There's an army coming to attack. But God, he goes to God, and this is what he says. Verse 1, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. In you I trust, O my God." You see, he lifted his soul up. It wasn't just him saying, "Help me, God." His whole being, his heart, his mind, his soul, his body was being brought to God, and he was just laying everything before him. You know, it's very easy sometimes when we're going through something just to say words, not really saying them and believing them from your heart. We need to trust, believe, and bring everything to God. And David, when he brought everything, in the midst of this very difficult situation he had, his confidence came through. This is what he says: "Do not let me be put to shame, nor let my enemies triumph over me. No one whose hope is in you will ever be put to shame." Now, shame in this situation is actually disappointment, being let down. I think we've all been there. We've all done that. We've all felt that experience. And anybody who puts their hope in God will not be put to shame. Your family might let you down, but God is going to be there to help you through the situation, and there will be victories at the very end. So in the middle of our storms, this is what we need to do also. Come with our heart, our soul, our mind to God. Leave nothing out of it. So David does this. He brings it to God. Does the problem go away? No, the problem is still there. So now what does he do? Interesting. This is where he comes to our verse that we had for the... Like that? How's that? Can everybody hear me okay? Yeah? Does that sound better? Okay, uh-oh. All right, we're good? No? I think I've worn this thing wrong. It's a technology of this. Am I okay? Can I talk? Okay. I've been turned off. Grandchild comes up and said, "Grandma, can you play with me?" And she says, "Oh, I'm so tired." And the little granddaughter says, "Well, Grandma, would you like a battery?" So, you know, maybe that's it. I got batteries now. I'm good. I'm ready to roll here. So David, as we were saying, he put his heart and soul out to God, but God was not giving him answers. But the next thing he does, it's a second here, there we go. The next thing he does, he cries out to God and he says this. This is our verse that we had. And I love the way the verse was written, because in the verse you had some bold words. They were a little bit bolder than the others. That was beautiful, because those are the words we want to see. First of all, he says, "Show me your ways, O Lord, and teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are my God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long." Or as as another version says, "For I wait all day long for you." You see, in here you've got that very important word called way. There are two ways that we can go when we've got a problem. You can go the world's way, or you can go God's way. And David wanted, in this situation where he had no clue what to do, to follow what God wanted to do and not do something rashly. And then usually when we do something without consulting God or waiting and taking time, we make wrong decisions and we end up doing the wrong thing, right? That's often inevitable, and then we have to get ourselves out of the mess. So David wanted to follow God's advice and seek his way. You'll be absolutely amazed at what God will do. Maybe not right away, but he will. So following his ways, and the other way is paths. Have you ever had that situation where you just didn't know what to do? Do I go this way? Do I make that choice? Should I do this with my life? Should I do that? There are so many different things that crop up in our life and situations where we just don't know how to react, and it can be very, very confusing. David wanted God to teach him his paths and the right way to go. It's scary, though. Are you ready to go on an adventure with God, not knowing where the end is? You know when you go on a trip and you have this little technology called the GPS? He can be a really big help if you're trying to get to your destination. But But if you happen to be a navigator sitting beside the GPS telling the driver also that that might not be the right way to go, you know, there could be a lot of testing of friendships and marriages because the GPS often takes us places we don't want to go, maybe right through the construction. You never know where he's going to go. The navigator with the map has got the right answer. But, you know, it's funny, though, because when you trust God, you never have these discrepancies. You never have these, oh, what way are we going to go? Because if you listen to him, he will guide you, and his way is always the right way. Unfortunately, we don't always agree with the way he's taking us. But in this picture, I really like this one because do you see the light? That light is the leading of God. That's Jesus leading us the right way. And he may take us on curves, but he's going to have us in the right direction. So I thought that was really neat. And so that's David. David also says in this little verse, truth. Truth is highlighted very in the bold. And they say here, I just quoted it, because 2,000 years ago or more now, they say, one of the most profound and eternally significant questions the Bible was asked by an unbeliever, Pilate, the man who handed Jesus over to be crucified, his final hour, he said, what is truth? This is Pilate asking Jesus. Now, Jesus just before had said that he had come actually into the world to testify the truth. But Pilate, the last words he says is, what is truth? I wrote down just a little, it's a biblical explanation of what they say truth is, but it just seems to hit the nail right on the head, doesn't it? That which is consistent with the mind, will, character, glory, and being of God. God is truth. His word is truth. Your map is getting that Bible out and reading what that truth is, and that truth is going to set you free. That truth is powerful. And this is where David wants God to show him his truth. They say nothing can change people like God's word, like God. You've heard yourself probably many cases where you have alcoholics becoming sober, right? You've got worriers finding peace, anxiety turns to peace, anger often turns to love, and the list goes on when we seek God. And Jesus verifies this being set free in actually John 8:31. He says, if you abide in my word and are truly my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And this truth brings peace. And you've heard before that your troubles may not be away, but there's that inner peace, the peace that passes all understanding, and it guards our hearts and minds. And that is the peace that we need to seek. And that is the strength that we need to be behind us when we're dealing with different situations in our life. And of course, David is always saying in different ways, he says, wait, wait, wait. What does it bring to your mind when you think of waiting? You think of waiting at an airport. I think of those poor people on the airline. Remember they sat for 7 hours on the runway or something? It says waiting in line for your groceries. Everywhere we go, we seem to have to wait. And it is the last thing we want to do. And when we are in a crisis, when we are in a difficult situation, we don't want to wait to see what God is going to do with us. We would really like to know now. We'd like to get out of it now, taking the pain away. But there's three times in Psalm 25 alone, that's just one psalm, David says over and over again, you have to wait. Now, wait is often said in some translations as hope, but hope is trust. Hope is waiting. Verse 3, it says, indeed, none who wait for you shall be put to shame. Verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Verse 21, may integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait for you. Don't try to take control of the situation. That's in us. I know it is. But always seek God's advice first before you go out. and do something and end up being disappointed about it. There's really a very cute story. I have to share it because it really kind of shows this waiting, and it's so innocently done. You see, there was this fellow, he had a dog, and it was a field dog, and the dog's name was Sam. Sam would go and find the birds, and then it was a really good dog. In fact, the owner said he was more than just a dog. He was the best dog he'd ever had. But one day they ended up going to an area that actually was unknown to both of the dog and the man, and they were doing whatever they were doing, and the dog went off somewhere and didn't hear his master's call to come home. He waited, he called, he whistled, it was getting late, he had an appointment somewhere back in town, and he had to go, but his heart was broken. Would the dog ever be found? But then he remembered something that an old dog trainer had told him. And he took off his shirt, laid the shirt underneath a bush, and left. He went to his meeting. He had a rest night all night, came back in the morning. And when he came back, there was Sam curled up on his shirt with his nose tucked into his sleeve. And then he looked up and wagged his tail as if to say, "Where have you been?" And they say his eyes said, "But I knew you would come back." He stayed close with the scent of the shirt of his master. You see, when you had to wait, who knows when he came back, but he waited there all night. But when we're in a situation, do you ever just nestle up with God's word, with maybe a promise that he has to help you, encourage you to wait, knowing full well, not doubting an inch, that God is eventually going to come and help you out of this? That's where we need to be, just nestled up in the love of, when the love of God. And it just, going through situations, I didn't put it on. I did put it on, then I took it off, then I put it on, then I put it on. I'm going to tell you anyhow. You all know it. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6, "Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." So there's a verse to cuddle up with as you go through it. And then Psalm 18, verse 1 to 2, is just a psalmist crawling out again. But he's got the right answer. Just listen to what he says. He says, "I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, and my place of safety." That's where we need to go. All these other things are irrelevant. I know as I was going through many growing different stages and stress would get too much for me, I was not an alcoholic, but I turned to wine just to relax. And of course, what happens when you do that? You have one and then two glasses. So it wasn't going anywhere. The pain in me was not going away, whatever trouble I had. And then as the years went on, God kept teaching me and teaching me. He is so patient. And then you realize that your strength is the Lord. Nothing else will ever replace that strength. But while you're nestled up like that little dog into just the loving arms of God, it's a good place to think back. Do you ever write things down when something really exciting happens and God does something spectacular in your life? If you write it down, then when you're going through another crisis, you can read back on this little book. I don't do that. I think I should, though. I really like to, because he's constantly, constantly doing things in our lives. And this is what David does. He's going through this difficult, but he says in verse 6, he says, "Remember, O Lord, your great mercy and love, for they are from of old." He remembers the stories of the very faithful men and women before him. But he still, even although he says he remembers everything, he still has that heartache, which is what we go through too. And he had said in Psalm 22, "Every day I call to you, my God." You ever did this? "But you don't answer." That's happened. "Every night you hear my voice, but I find no relief." See, when you're in a crisis and you're calling out to God, sometimes he just doesn't seem like he's there. But David says, don't give up, don't give up. He says, what you have to do, he says this in verse 4, "Our ancestor trusted you and were saved." See? "And they trusted you and were never disgraced." That is what David is standing on to get through his situation. God's mercy and love are always, always there. They will never depart from you. You know, I think now with the all the stories that are coming in from this crisis down in Las Vegas, and it's really remarkable how the stories of kindness are coming out. Like there was one who put his body over this woman, didn't know her, but he was protecting her. And then there was another one who said she stayed with this dying man. He actually was from Canada until he passed away. And she says, I don't know why I stayed there instead of running myself. But that's where she felt she could be needed and she wanted to be. When we're in crisis, now prayerfully we'll never be in one like that, but when we're going through difficulties, sometimes when we reach out to other people, it helps us get through them. Because somebody else is always in a turmoil also, and often a lot worse than what we're going through. And David in his chagrin here with his family, he gives this beautiful verse, it's verse 8 and 9, and he tells us, the Lord is good. Can you remember that when you're going through difficulties? He does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness. Isn't that great to listen to? Reinforce that. All who keep his covenant and obey his demands. So we're not alone. David has just encouraged us. God's walking. He's good. He's doing what is right. Don't worry about what he's doing. Just wait. Be patient. He's going to work it all out. And he says in verse 12, again, he says, who are those who fear the Lord? For God's going to show them the path they should choose. I just can't imagine how David would have felt at this time. He didn't know what was going to happen with his family. So these are beautiful words coming from him and prayerfully helping us in a situation. But his faith that David had doesn't always take away a heaviness in his heart. And this heaviness in his heart was from past. It seems the scholars, the Bible scholars, are thinking that he is thinking when he says over and over again, forgive my iniquity, that he's talking about his sin that he had with this beautiful woman called Bathsheba. And Bathsheba, she got pregnant. And then when he realized that, he put her husband on a certain place in the war, so he knew he'd get killed, so that was basically murder. And then after that, he covered it up and he took her as his wife. It was nobody knew what was going on except God, right? So you can't trick God. He got back to David through Nathan, and this is what Nathan says, God said. This is in 2 Samuel 12, by the way. This is what the Lord says. Out of your household, I am going to bring calamity upon you. Now, that was years ago. It was years ago because he was a young man then. But now he's an older man. But that guilt is still there. And over again, he says, remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions, and one translation says, or my rebellious ways. And then he says it again, for your name's sake, O Lord, pardon my guilt, for it is great. How blessed we are that we have Jesus Christ as our Savior. Him coming to die on that cross has taken away all of our sins, our past sins. Now, we have trouble. It's us. We're the problems because we often go back and think about everything, and then we start doing things that we shouldn't do again and feeling like we shouldn't. God has forgiven us. We have to work hard at getting rid of it and moving on in our lives. So forgiveness can bring a very heavy, heavy heart. So if there's anything in your life that you feel that you're doing wrong, even if it might be something very simple like criticizing somebody, gossiping, could be very small, but it leaves a heaviness in your heart. So get rid of it. Get rid of it and then move on. So God can forgive our sins, and only God is the one who can help. And David knows this. David knows it very well. And he says in verse 18, turn to me and have mercy, for I am alone and in distress. My problems go from bad to worse. If you've been there, has anybody ever felt that way? Oh, save me from all, feel my pain and see my trouble. Those are heart-wrenching words, aren't they? Feel my pain. Does he? Of course he does. God knows exactly what you're going through, and he's there to help you through. And one thing we should never, ever do, like David, never give up, Just put your faith in God. He is going to help you through this. And David calls out again. He says, and this is Psalm 22, verse 11. He says, do not stay so far from me. God's seeming distant to David right now. For trouble is near and no one else can help. That's it, isn't it? When we're alone, at home, dealing with our problems, God's the one that's going to help you. He's the one that is there. And then in the whole storms of life, David ends this psalm by saying, may integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you. Do you know what integrity is? Actually, integrity, I was trying to figure out why does protecting integrity, whatever, make, anyhow, long story short, integrity is a quality of being honest, all right? Having strong moral principles and being grounded, and this is the important one, grounded in a relationship with God, with Jesus Christ, instilling in us this behavior that will help us through difficult situations. It makes us stronger. It's a constant battle. We have to be constantly seeking that. And who's going to try and destroy it? Of course, we have our wonderful enemy. He's going to want to. He hates integrity. He hates anything to do with God. He doesn't want you to turn to God. He wants to destroy you. He wants to actually weaken you so that when you go through your crises, he's going to crumble you. That's what he's after. But if you follow the way David followed here, David's approach is beautiful. It's all dependent on God, and it's all trusting God, but that way is going to make us victorious. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? Even if you are going through difficult times. You know, I just find sometimes things are going so smoothly. We were heading off to PEI just a couple of weeks ago, actually. My cousin from Scotland was there. My brother lives there and his wife. It's going to be so fun. I was having a great day. I had my teeth done. They were all nice and shiny and no cavities. And then I had one more errand to do. Just one. I had to go get serviettes. That was really, really important. And somehow or other, I have no idea how it happened, but I did a beautiful swan dive. It was the most, spectacular. Knees, chin, lip, nose, glasses broken, head hit. I couldn't believe it. I really couldn't believe it. Was anybody around? No, only me. And I'm not sure. I remember getting up really fast and saying, ooh, that didn't go very well. That was a really stupid thing to say after you fall like that. So I got myself somehow back to the car. I got myself back to the house. Was anybody at home? No, nobody was at home. I had nobody to say, woe is me. I had to face this on my own. So I got myself cleaned up, et cetera, et cetera. But just the fact, when David was saying alone and afflicted and things were going from bad to worse, you know, when you fall, sometimes it doesn't seem too bad. Then all of a sudden, all these bruises and black eyes and start coming out. And it does go from bad to worse to worse. This is not as serious as many of you may be going through. But I had a real eye-opener. I really put this into practice, that it was God I needed to trust and have faith in. I'm fine. I mean, there's things that are still, I mean, working on the inside that I'd probably have to deal with. But you know what? God brought me through it all, through all the stress of everything. But it just shows that David's approach is right. It's perfect. It's perfect in all ways. And just before we end here, I just wanted just to quickly, you know, this just quickly go over that little, I picked out 8 again. So calling on God is the first thing, from your soul, not just words, from your soul, trusting and having faith, listen, be teachable, don't listen and have God say one thing and you go and do the other, wait patiently, ask forgiveness, remember past times, reach out to others, walk in integrity and rightness, and just stay with a relationship with God. That is going to get you through. Now, I don't know if anybody, before we let you go, knows this song, God Will Take Care of You. Has anybody ever heard it before? It's an old, old, old song. But you know what? The words are true. Sometimes when we have a crisis, we actually don't remember any words in the Bible. I don't remember a verse when I fell. Nothing was coming. But the one I kept singing on my way home was, God will take care of you. God, so that's the only words I remembered. So you know what we're going to do? For those who know the song, please try and sing along. It's really, do you know it? No, some of you do. Please sing along with me. And then, even if you only remember the chorus, which is not there, the chorus is there. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you. And may I add, in his time. Not our time, his time. So those who know it, sing around. Through every name, every tide, God will take care of you. Beneath his wings, love abide, God will take care of you. Through every day or all the way, he will take care. God will take care of you no matter what. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon his breast, God will take care of you. All right, okay, this is the verse. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He God will take care. And that he will, without a doubt. God bless.